That's right.
I appreciate your call, and I'm sure you have a lot of really good points to make, but I do want to go back to the war on the worker here in the United States. Thanks very much for calling in. I mean, that was a great call, and I really appreciate that. All right, the number to call, 503-231-8187. It's 9:30 here in Cascadia. And you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. I'm talking about the coercion that debt collectors have been applying and how you can back it off. And you really can back it off. You need to know your rights. You need to record abusive and illegal practices. In many cases, your debt can be erased due to collectors' misconduct or reduced. In some cases, you might even have the right to sue for damages. Debt collectors count on you to not do your homework. I'm reading directly from the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Look that up on the web, people. Debt Resistors Operations Manual. If you know someone who doesn't have web access, who needs this, pull it up. It's a PDF. Print it out. Give it to them. Every word is, well, not every word, but it's just, this is absolutely, this will save, this can save your house. This can save your job. This can save you from depression and penury. There is a lot of debt collection agencies are being paid right now just because they're so used to you rolling over. And to the extent possible with a community radio station, I want to put a stop to that. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. A collection agency often works on behalf of an original creditor. That can be a department store, a credit card company, or a hospital, basically wherever you open a line of credit. When bills go unpaid, the original creditor contracts with collection agencies or third-party debt collectors to collect the debt. Some collection agencies take a commission out of every debt they collect on behalf of the original collector, while other agencies lease or buy your debt outright from the original creditor after a period of non-payment. Now, that sort of debt is kind of what I want to emphasize. The collection agency, you need to know, doesn't pay the full price. In fact, it almost certainly pays less, usually to 2 to 25% of the debt's face value, and it's going to be 2%. So if you owe $1,000, the collection agency might pay $150 for the right to collect that $1,000 from you. They then attempt to collect the full $1,000, and more if fees are attached, making a hefty profit in the end. And speaking for myself, when you run the numbers, oh, heck yeah, they have quite a profit. And also speaking for myself, you can't roll over. And if you just put up some resistance, if you do a little homework, you can back them off. I, for example, was I had dead credit cards. They had I'd use them to support myself and my family when I wasn't working. And then I couldn't pay them, and I stopped paying them. And they sold it to a debt collector. Debt collector called Equitable Assent. Equitable Assent came after me and tried to get several $1,000s. And using these techniques, I backed them off completely. I challenged them. I said, they sent me letters that appeared to be from an attorney. I didn't let that intimidate me. I wrote them back and I said, you are not registered as a debt collection agency in the state of Oregon. And the fact is they do have to be registered as a debt collection agency in the state of Oregon. There's a website that you can pull up that tells you, and I'll let you use search engines to find it. It's not that hard. Official debt collection agencies, registered debt collection agencies in the state of Oregon. This goes for Washington as well, or anywhere you happen to be listening to me. They have to pay $10,000 or have a special line of credit, non-revocable, $10,000 to become a credit agency. And they can't just say, okay, here's what they can do. They can do anything. They can say, because your dog looks like my grandma, you owe me $10,000. It just doesn't matter. Because if they say that you owe them a debt and they go to the court and you don't show up in the court or do anything to say that this is not my debt, then it becomes real. But here's what they can't do. They can't go to court and face down a challenge when they haven't bothered to jump through the legal hoops. And what happened in the case of Equitable Assent versus Teresa Mitchell, which you can also find online, is that they gave up. I won thousands of dollars. You can win. And that was that was just one of two or three things that I challenged them with, and they are not used to being challenged, and they don't have time to be challenged. They're so busy sucking the blood out of workers all over the United States and beyond that when you actually show up in court, there's a certain profit loss machine that just clicks in. And unless, you know, they're just feeling really bullheaded about it, and they say, oh, never mind, because they've got, I mean, why... You know, why would you chase one little fish when you've got a whole net full on the other side of the boat? They don't care. So at this point in history, what I'm telling you, you can back them off. Oh, hell yes, you can back them off. Number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And John is on the air. Hi, John. You still there?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, good topic. What I'll call about is on debt. I think my point is attitude reflects the leadership. And since the Senate kind of voted down, you know, to back down or take it easy on the student loans, you know, the student loan debt crisis.
Student loan debt, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, when these kids, they graduate from college, you know, with MBAs or lawyer degrees and stuff like that, they got no choice but to, you know, take up these, you know, two-bit jobs, you know, third-party collection type debts or whatever it takes to survive. And, again, it all starts from the leadership. You know, they give breaks to the billionaires, yet they make it where these students can't file bankruptcy. And, you know, and they got these high interest loans.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a good point. And I want to make the point that I really am not trying to load a personal moral onus on people who've been caught up in the debt collection system. Full exposure here. I have collected debt. So, yes. It was many years ago, and it wasn't anything like this stuff I'm describing. But I used to call people up and say, did you know that you owe this blah, blah, blah? And I was nice as pie, and it was funny, you know, but being nice, my statistics were as high as anyone else's. Well, it's a whole nother game now. I guess you take whatever job you can. The machine is the machine, whatever. But I want people to understand that they don't have to fall for these techniques. Debt collection at this point is just a wahoo industry. Frankly, it is, by the numbers, a criminal industry, and I want to destroy it as much as I possibly can because people need as much cash as they can get in their hands in this framework, in this situation of the re-depression.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in, John. Number to call, 503-231-8187. It's 9:37. Pacific time. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and we'll talk about the collection agency. The debt collection agency, also known as Accounts Receivable Management, or ARM for short, is financed by Wall Street. Closely tied to credit card issuers and other lenders such as collection companies, offshore call centers, big law firms, and debt speculators, each year over 300,000 debt collectors amass more than $50 billion in debt, profiting over $10 billion total. The collection industry has expanded significantly in recent years, shadowing the rise of consumer credit. From 2000 to the end of 2010, commercial banks doubled the amount of consumer loans. Should consumers default, the debt collection industry is ready. The number of U.S. consumers subject to third-party debt collectors has doubled since 2000. 10 years ago, debt collectors pursued 1 in 14 people in the United States. Today, it's 1 in 7. Don't feel guilty about it. And here's another frame for you not to feel guilty. That money did not exist until it was loaned to you. It did not exist until it was loaned to you. You're not screwing anybody. Nope. If you can't pay, you can't pay, and you need to back off these collectors. And the number to call is 503-231-8187, and Brian's on the air.
Hi, Teresa. I have much to say on this, but I'll be brief. It's really a circle of victimization. One of my biggest bitches, if you'll excuse the expression, is the actual credit bureau industry itself. They're a bunch of thugs and crooks as well, financed by the banks. And, you know, everybody almost in the U.S. is, you know, in the thrall. I mean, you know, you're constantly exhorted to, check your credit score, and it's a holy grail. there, I mean, I think our whole system should be broken up. I've written to Elizabeth Warren about it, who's the only person I think that would even understand. But, you know, that sort of dovetails in with your stuff on the credit, you know, the collection agencies. And another thing is part of that vicious circle is the appalling non-medical system in this country. You know, we've been bankrupted by it, and with insurance. And, you know, it's all part of a circle of obscene profiteering, which, you know, should be government-run, but not... But it's just they avoid that like the plague. They can't accept that other, you know, civilized countries have, you know, a medical system that can't bankrupt them. And it would help.
Funny that.
It would
as
help
if it were a human business, right.
Help small businesses too. So that's, you know, I'll keep it brief, but all these things are part of a circle of. And I asked Dr. Richard Wolff about this once when he was on Cable, and I said, you know, do they make the language of economics deliberately obscure? And he says, absolutely. And he's one of the few economists I'll listen to. So there you go. It's the big vicious circle of victimization. And I've got utter contempt for the whole thing.
Right on.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Cheers.
Okay. Now, I'm talking about how to stop debt collectors. I've been also talking about why you should stop debt collectors. You should do it to preserve your human rights to housing, to moving forward in society, so much more important than paying back a debt that never actually represented any loss of funds in the first place. Now, I want to talk about the debt validation strategy. The federal and state laws are such, and I am not an attorney. it is worthwhile to seek an attorney. Don't believe that you can't afford an attorney. You might be able to make a deal. It's always worthwhile to talk to an attorney. But I want to talk about what to do when you get that credit letter from a third-party collection. Dispute it. You don't owe it. How did that happen? Well, there's a number of ways that could happen. One of the ways that could happen is, as I was saying, the agency did not bother to pay their $10,000 to register with the state. Look that up. That might be one way. That's easy. Another way that they might not have bothered is they don't have the original. This is a very common one. They don't have the original note. They don't have your signature. And here's the deal. Having a copy of your signature, a computer-generated copy, which is what they will send to you if you ask, by and large, that won't fly in court. So I'm talking about you going to court. I again assert that I am not an attorney and that it is worthwhile to get one. The worst strategy is to roll over for these people. Now, I want you, when you get this letter, within 30 days to send a letter back and say, this is not my debt. I dispute this debt. You don't have to say much more than that. You have to dispute it. And look up the statute of limitations on the debt. If the debt is past the statute of limitations, send them a letter informing that they are trying to collect zombie debt. This is debt which is too old to have any legal liability for a consumer. Now I'm reading from creditinfocenter.com. If the collection agency does not remove the listing after you point out the statute of limitations, hilariously abbreviated SOL, sometimes your only remedy is to sue them. If the debt is not past the statute of limitations, send a letter requesting validation to the collection agency. Within 30 days, you should hear back from the collection agency. Most likely, they will not respond. Or they will respond saying they received your letter. Only a letter which contains one of the following is worthwhile, and that is proof that the collection agency owns the debt or has been assigned the debt, copies of the statements from the original creditor, copy of the original signed loan agreement or credit card application, copy of a canceled check from you to the original creditor. Now, if they haven't sent you satisfactory proof, this is just proof to you. That's the standard I'm talking about here. And are still reporting on this on your credit report, send a copy of your receipt for your registered mail, a copy of the first letter you sent, and a statement that they have not complied with the FDCPA and are now in violation of the Act. Tell them they need to immediately remove the collection listing from your credit report, or you are going to file a lawsuit because they are in violation of FDCPA, Section 809B. Wait 15 or 20 days to hear back after the second letter to the collection agency. They'll either give up or not respond. And as I was saying before, speaking for myself here, they're likely to give up because there's so many fish in the sea, so many people who will roll over. They don't care. You do this right, you can back them off. If they do provide a contract with a signature from the original creditor showing that you owe the debt, there's one more thing you can try. See if they're legally licensed to collect the debt in your state. I was talking about that earlier. This is from creditinfocenter.com. They say, typically your work will stop here as most collection agencies will bow down to your demands and send you a letter agreeing to remove the listing. Now all you have to do is send a copy of the letter to the credit reporting agencies. And that's a whole nother thing. If you've got, supposing you're catching up or caught up on your debt, look this up on the web, okay? I'm not going to give you all the details, but this is something that's worthwhile to look up. How do-it-yourself credit repair. Can you do it yourself? Yeah. Why should you pay anyone else? It's simple. You dispute everything on the report. They have to prove that you owe. And I was just talking about the hoops that they have to jump through and how they are disinclined to jump through those hoops because there's so much money to be gotten from passive people. Don't be passive. Don't pay. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Trying to get a revolt going here, trying to get more money in the hands of the people. And Grant is on the air. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Teresa. What's the name of the book that you referred to there?
I'm so glad you asked that. It is the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Debt Resistors Operations Manual, DROM. It's under Strike Debt. Use a search engine, put in Strike Debt. Then you'll find their website. I'm looking at strikedebt.org/DROM, D-R-O-M. Debt Resistors Operations Manual will get you what you need on any search engine.
Great. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's got...
Can you shed some light on college debt, both government loans and private loans for college?
Okay, well, I want to say something about that as well. Third-party collectors trying to get that debt have to obey the federal laws as well. Attorneys who want to collect the debt are acting as collection agencies and must pay the $10,000 registration with the state. That's true of Oregon. I didn't look up Washington. I know I'm broadcasting into Washington, but that's, as I was saying, that's worth looking up.
Yeah, I'm calling from Washington, Gary.
Okay. I would say look that up. It's probably much the same in Washington State. And they have to be registered. You can catch, one aspect in how I caught out Equitable Assent and screwed them for thousands of dollars, which I'm just really happy to do.
Good on you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, talking about these debt collectors, talking about how debt has gotten out of control. And these agencies trying to collect this debt, they are tied with the same Wall Street group that crashed the economy, the same Wall Street group that came to you before the crash with ad after ad after ad saying, you deserve luxury. And they did so many other things. They also, do you remember the little ad that showed the guy who's just like, he's just getting out of college and he takes his parents out and he's all proud because he's got his Visa card and he can just pay for a big old dinner out. And now he's just the big man. Now he's not just a little kid anymore. He's got a Visa card. Well, he's still paying on that dinner. These are the same people I say fight back. They've gotten plenty of money. They're billionaires. Pretty soon, this is a prediction. Sometime in the next 5 years, we're going to start using the word trillionaire. And in the context of people not even making a decent living wage, the majority of us, that's obscene. That's sick. There should be no billionaires and never a trillionaire. Never. You can't have billionaires in a democratic society. That is too much wealth. I'm happy for people to be very wealthy. I think there should be millionaires. I think, heck, just about everybody should be a millionaire. That would be great. I love it when people have prosperity and they're comfortable and they're feeling good and they can go where they want and they can have nice clothes and a zippy car and that's all just fine with me. Billionaire? No, that's obscene. That's crazy. want to break this system that is creating these gigantic parasites that have controlled our politics for so many years now. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Mike's on the air.
Yeah, this is great. Really glad you're doing this. You mentioned strike debt. Do you know if that's an organization that's doing local organizing, or have you? What's your experience with that?
I know of them because Positively Revolting, that's Ani and Lynn here on KBOO Radio, interviewed them a few weeks ago, and I know that it is a national organization and that they have a website, strikedebt.org.
Okay.
And really, I don't know that much more about them other than hearing the interview. And the guy that they interviewed was one of the writers of the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Another thing to look up, Debt Resistors Operations Manual. And he seemed like a real mensch. And looking over the manual, I think it was very well researched. I would say there is a flaw here or there in it, but not in a major way. I would say the most important thing to remember about the Debt Resistors Operations Manual is that everybody needs it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been working with the anti-foreclosure stuff for a while, and that, you know, kind of organizationally has kind of come unglued. And there's great need for people to create on-the-ground organization and do exactly what you're saying. So I thank you for your program. Thanks.
You're welcome. Well, you're really right about that. And when it comes to foreclosure, the same rule applies. Don't roll over. Don't give up. Seek information. When I was facing foreclosure, I guess it was 3 years ago now, eventually what I wound up doing was I filed Chapter 13, and it looks like I am one of the 50% who have successfully completed Chapter 13. It's a little dangerous. But that Chapter 13 stripped $80,000 from my home loan, just took it away. Bam, gone. I'll never have to pay the $80,000. And it... It stopped all creditors from contacting me. It wiped out 80% of the debt, of the credit card debt. I am coming out the other side of it. There are big problems with Chapter 13. One of the big problems is, I'm sorry to say this, and you won't find this surprising, is that it is applied with disproportionate severity towards people of color. I'm sorry, but there it is. The record speaks for itself. If you're black and you want to file Chapter 13, well, it's that much harder. It's a lot harder. It's just an ugly little reality of our society. Now I've lost track of what I was talking about. I guess I'll take another caller. 503-231-8187, and Betsy's on the line.
Hey, Teresa. It's Betsy Toll.
Hi.
And I just wanted to say I love you. You are just so awesome. And everyone who's listening to KBOO hopefully knows that. You are a treasure. And I'm not in the car or listening to the radio often when you're on these days. And so when I was driving along, yay, there's Teresa.
Thanks.
I'm just giving you a shout out.
Thanks for the boost, Betsy.
Yeah, you know, debt is killing us. It's killing all of us, or 99% of us anyway. And yeah, and learning how we can fight it and how we can, wait a minute, kind of reclaim our own power in that instead of this obsequious and you know, shamed and fearful mentality.
Oh, yeah. If you know the whole frame, it's so absurd to think. I mean, it really is true, and it applied to me, too. It worked on me. It's so silly to think that people are feeling guilty about owing on a credit card. Just don't. I mean, if you look at the big framework, no. Don't feel bad. And we used to have a more generous Chapter 7, which you just pretty much say, well, goodbye. We're done with the credit.
Student debt is just, to me, that is such an obscenity. It's beyond. It's such a symbol of how distorted and dysfunctional our society is.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, there's no end to that kind of thinking. I mean, they used to torture witches in the Inquisition, right? And then charge them. And that was a big reason why they tortured witches, you know, so they could steal their estate.
Yeah. It's so the whole way that the system is structured so that money and power consolidate into very, very limited hands, and the rest of us, you know, are either scrambling just to get by or scrambling to get out from under the thumb, or or feeling shamed and as if we're failures or as if we've done something wrong. It's so destructive to our spirit as individuals and our collective spirit. So yeah,
good point.
Love hearing your show.
Thanks for making that
That's
point.
All
right.
That's
then.
All right. Be well.
Thank you. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Oh, yeah, did you know that about the Inquisition? Let's see. We've burned out your eyes. We've ripped your nipples off, and that will cost you, let's see, what have you got here? 3 cows, 4.7 acres. I guess that'll pretty much cover it. And let's see who's on the air here. Nicola's on the air.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
It's lovely to hear you, Teresa. I've never heard you before, and I actually haven't heard your whole show. I just popped in on it not too long ago, probably 10 minutes ago. And you're saying things that I feel like on some level I know but don't know technically. And I entered into a relationship with an online college in order to try and get a early childhood development degree. And, uh-huh. and I completed about a credit before I realized that it was a scam.
Ah.
And and the way that I withdrew must have been inadequate because several years later, I got financial aid in order to do it.
Right.
I went through all the hoops to get financial aid, which was, I'm not inclined towards bureaucracy like at all. I really stuck at it in every way. And I have kids, which makes life a little difficult because
you think?
Kids are like oddly bureaucratically like triggered bureaucracy in this weird way, but which I also didn't really know when I started having kids. But either way, first I got a letter. This is years ago, at least 5, and they said that I owed them over $9,000.
Right.
But I didn't ever get anything from them. I didn't even get any paperwork. Like, I had no degree. Even think there's any information about the one credit that I might have gotten from them.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder, because they've been calling me ever since. And
they're still calling. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I still get calls. And I entered in at one point into, like, I believed what they said. And I entered into, like, pay something per month. And I was paying them $100 a month for a long time. And at this point, I just wonder because of so many things that I don't have credit.
Okay, well, since I'm not an attorney, I'm going to give you some piratical, non-legal, I'm going to give you illegal advice.
Oh, good.
There's a couple things you can do. The best thing you could do is, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, don't tell yourself you can't afford a lawyer. You probably know a lawyer. You probably know a lawyer who knows other lawyers. You probably know someone who knows a lawyer. And I have gotten advice. I've gotten illegal advice under the table from people that I know. And it is added to this this discussion. But you possibly can get someone to help you. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, I've heard of lawyers who've been paid in pets. I've been heard of lawyers who've been paid in furniture. Don't give up. And the reason I'm talking lawyers in your case is because you've paid them and, you've kind of affirmed this debt. You've had a relationship with them that has included giving them money. So that makes it more difficult. But it doesn't mean that you can't get out of it. And here's the piratical advice. Stiff them. Force them to sell the debt. Force them to go to court.
I think they've sold it several times. I've had at least...
And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to say this real quickly. Force them to validate the debt. Just come out and say, this isn't my debt. You don't properly have it. You're not registered in the state of Oregon. Try all those tactics, but look up the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Debt Resistors Operations Manual.
Great.
I'm going to say that one more time. Debt Resistors Operations Manual by Strike Debt. So many more details, but I just really, more than anything else, I wanted to get that attitude out there. Don't pay them. Don't. Okay, you've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine because we're going out on the World Wide Web to everyone, everywhere, and to all the ships at sea.
Yes, you are listening to the Mighty Boo KBOO Portland. Coming up in about a 15 minutes. Join us for Flashpoints. Today's topics, I should say, is Lyme disease becoming a major issue for women worldwide. Sini Anderson, director of The Punk Singer, talks about feminist icon Kathleen Hanna. This film reveals Hanna's battle with Lyme disease. Also, migrant children as young as 5 are being warehoused and brutalized by ICE and border authorities in Arizona. At 11, on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with Roxane Gay, a powerful new literary voice whose short stories and essays have already earned her an enthusiastic audience. An Untamed State is her debut novel about a woman kidnapped for ransom. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guests are Seattle's Julia Gerfurer and Portland's Ellery Harvey, collaborators in bringing the art of comics off the page and into the performance space. That's all coming up, but first, stick around for Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, next on KBOO.
This month, June 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Lastra's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20 Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20 Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KBOO at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.